Saul that the soul of Jonathan was knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. And Saul took him that day and would not let him go no more home to his father's house. Then Jonathan and David made a covenant because he loved him as his own soul. And Jonathan stripped himself of the robe that was upon him and gave it to David, and his garment even to his sword and to his bow and to his girdle. So we see here the beginnings of a very wonderful, very fulfilling friendship. As a matter of fact, some of the words used here, and we'll dive into them, depict the depth of a friendship that can be very hard to find today. Friendship is one of the most valuable things on earth that you can have. You're born with family, but a friend is a loved one that you choose. In many ways, friends can be closer to you than your own family. This last week, I got a good run of that. Just people that I used to run around with, spend hours chasing through the woods, meeting them for the first time in 20 years. You know what happens when you ain't talked to somebody in 20 years? When you go from being a child to an adult, you meet them for the first time is what you're doing. Right? People change. They really do. And you grow and mature and your priorities develop and your sense of self develops. And they're completely different people. Right? Yet I've got people that I'm not related to whatsoever. And I could tell you what they had for breakfast yesterday. You know, just good friends. Hey, man, what'd you do? Oh, man, wife made this. It was really good. All right, bro, send me that recipe. You know, we have those kind of conversations. We know about each other when you have that close friendship. And we know that friendship is not an easy thing. Proverbs 18:24, a man that hath friends must show himself friendly. And there is a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. So in order to get that kind of a friend, you got to show yourself friendly. We've got a lot of folks out there that are very take me as I am. I provide very little into this relationship, very little into this friendship, but I want you to support me and love me and be at my beck and call and do whatever have you. There's this lady that I know of. She joined a church for the main purpose of having people that could come over to her house and help her with things. Hey, I need a ride to the drugstore, a ride to the doctor's office. I need someone to come help me clean up my kitchen and to help me with the animals here in my property. So I need to go down to the church so that I could have some friends that would come and help me out. And I sat there, I said, oh, you're in trouble. You are in trouble. Well, you don't think I'll find it? You might find it. Be honest with you, you might find it. But you are in trouble with the Lord. What is the purpose of a friendship? I put in, the friend puts in. We both benefit. I love on them, they love on me. I care for them, they care for me. I help them, they help me. We don't keep score, we don't keep track. I'm just there, and you're there, and that's friendship. In many ways, what we're describing here is what every church member ought to be to each other. Now, I tell you what, it's going to be hard for us to be buddy-buddy. All right, there are interests and things that I like that maybe you don't. There's that age gap, right? I sit there, and, you know, I've said this before, and girls, I hope you don't mind me saying this. You know, I have a hard time equating with the teenage girls. Why? Because I ain't one. I got no idea. Could you imagine me trying to hang out with that kind of girl? I just can't. I couldn't do it. Not cool enough, right? There's differences. But you better believe as a church member, if you have a need, I'm there. Not just because I'm a pastor, but because I'm a church member. I'm there. You need an ear, you got both of them. You need some time here. You need this picked up. You need that. Hey, I'm there for you. I'll give you a ride here. I'll give you a ride there. And, of course, the thing we always say to each other is what? I don't want to bother anybody. You know what bothers me beyond all anything? Knowing that you suffered and I could have done something. And if this is you, don't get upset, but I'm going to use this as an illustration. Well, I had this going on, and I really needed this, but I didn't want to bother anybody. And I'm sitting at home in a chair going, man, I wish I had something productive to do. And now I know somebody was sitting there hurting, having a need, and where was the man of God? Sitting in his chair, wishing for something to do. You know what will bother me more than anything? knowing you were hurting and I wasn't doing anything about it. You don't read a lot about that in Scripture in a good way, do you? God's people are struggling. Where's the man of God sitting in a chair? I don't want to be that guy. That bothers me. I'd rather have both hands swinging if you're in a fight. You know what I mean? I'd rather be there. But all the same, that's what friendship ought to be. Showing myself friendly. Now, you ever be friends with somebody who's just cantankerous and difficult to be around? Now, listen, I know we pick on each other. But you know what? You ever just somebody who, no matter what, they are already riled up. Very hard to love somebody who's not very friendly. It's important for us to be that friendly. Again, I'm not talking about our joking around. I think we know what I'm talking about. Somebody who is just, they're mean. They're mean. They're grumpy. Don't be that person. Right? Loneliness is a difficult thing to deal with. Loneliness will ruin your mind. It'll tear up your heart, even affect your health. Right? Be a friendly person. Why? Why should I have to be friendly? If my personality is standoffish and mean, why can't I just swing into that? I'll tell you, because you are supposed to be the light of God. As God's people, we're supposed to be the love of God with skin on it. That's what we ought to be. If God has shown his patience, kindness, and tender mercies to you, that ought to be what's out there. Now, I'm not talking that means you got to sit there and put on a greasy smile and be that saccharine sweet preschool teacher. No, just don't be mean. Watch what you say. Show some friendliness, right? I had a coworker one time, and he did. He had me convinced for months that he was the crankiest person I've ever met. But you know what I noticed about him? His name was Marty. And I say, hey, Marty, can I get your help with this? I tell you what, if I got to do everybody else's work, all right, let's go. He'd always do it. He'd always teach me too. All right, now listen, here's what you got to do. Get your hands in there. Okay, you see that? Good. All right, now wrap that. All right, good job. And now don't bother me anymore. Now I'd be sitting there fiddling with something on the workbench. What are you doing on my workbench? Well, Marty, this isn't working right. I can't figure it out. I'm trying to look it up. All right, listen, here's what you're going to do. I realized that cantankerous old man was not cantankerous at all. It was a shell, right? Love that guy. Do anything for that guy. I'd buy food for that guy. I'd bring lunch back to that guy. Love that guy because he acted tough, but he wasn't really. Deep. He was abrasive on the outside, but deep down inside, he'd do anything for you. All right? And listen, I'm okay with that. We a little cantankerous on the outside, a little difficult to deal with. As long as you got that love on the inside, you're still going to have people surrounding you and caring for you. His wife got real sick and wallets opened up, man. He'd have a need, he'd have a tool that would break, and all of us sitting around that table knew full well that our whole production level as a team was about to drop without him having that tool. Guess what we did? We either repaired that thing for him or we took it in for him. We loved on him. Why? Because he took the time for us, we take the time for him. And he wasn't even Christian. So folks, here we are. Love of God in our hearts. We have a responsibility to be friendly to others. And when you've got that kind of a friendship, you're going to find that friendship getting better than some relationships between brother and brother, right? Or sister and brother, sister and sister, right? You get a good friend will take you, a good friend will mean a lot to you. Good friend will be valuable to you and you'll be valuable to that friend. When we look at this relationship between Jonathan and David, I want to look at verse 1. And it came to pass when he had made an end of speaking unto Saul. So this is David talking to Saul. Now, consider all of the things that David had said aloud up to this point. Man, every time David opened his mouth, it just reaffirmed to me that he was the writer of most of the Psalms. This guy had a way with words. He had a dedication to him. So I want you to imagine Jonathan sitting there in the room while David's talking to his father, and he's just sitting there going, that's my kind of guy. Right? That's my kind of friend. If there's anybody I want to be found around, if there's anybody, any kind of an attitude I want to be around, I want to be around that guy. You ever meet somebody like that? There's a lot of pastors and preachers and children of God that I know that I'll sit there, I'll listen to them talk and I'll say, hey, listen, if I'm sitting down, I want to sit down with this guy. If I'm going to be surrounded myself with something, I want to be surrounded by what this guy has to say. Right? So that's what Jonathan's doing. He's impressed by the godliness. He's impressed by the faith. He's impressed by the devotion that David had as he's talking to Saul. And Jonathan's just sitting there and he goes, that is my kind of guy. I see a little bit of myself. And you got to remember who Jonathan was. Saul didn't get no victories Jonathan wasn't a part of. Right? It was him while Dad was down there in the valley sitting there thinking. It was Jonathan who crawled up to meet the enemy. It was Jonathan who said, hey, we'll see what my God will do. That was Jonathan. So when he sits there and he hears David go and he goes, I want to be that kind of guy. That's the kind of guy I want to be. So we see that again, that knitting together or that love that he had for his soul, for his spirit. That knitting together that we see there, that is a bond of friendship. That is two kindred spirits coming together for some good friendship. You know what we got a problem with today? We got a problem with some carnal friendship. We've messed up the idea of what friendship should be. Sometimes we got friends out there, they call it a friendship, but there's no real love there. And to even sit there and assume that there would be any kind of love is almost kind of a weird thought. I mean, think about it. Some of you men, when was the last time you had a friend that you loved, a guy friend you loved, you looked over, you said, I love you. We don't do that, do we? Well, we do it here in this church a little bit, but we don't do that in a broader spectrum, do we? Why?
That's gay.
No, it ain't. The fact that you can't have a decent relationship with anybody or a decent friendship with another man without you thinking of a more lascivious reason for it, that is a problem. Because there ought to be love between each other. There ought to be love between church member. Love between friends. Now listen, I ain't going to sit there. I've got good friends. I'm going to send them a Valentine. But I'll send them a birthday card. I'll send them a quick little note. Hey, praying for you today, bro. Hey, how'd that thing go last week? Oh, praise the Lord. Be there for each other. Care for each other. Hey, man, I want to let you know. I know it's weird, but I love you. Glad you're in my life. Appreciate that. We get this kindergarten mentality. We say the phrase, I love you, and all of a sudden we go, ooh, so-and-so and so-and-so sitting in a tree. We need to grow past that. And you know what continues that philosophy is television. You see two guys that are buddies and buddies. And all of a sudden they call that, and I said, oh, well, there must be some kind of relationship there. Are you in kindergarten? Not everybody who throws the ball back and forth is looking for marriage, right? As friendship. And there ought to be love in friendship. There ought to be expressions of love and care in that friendship. There ought to be some Jonathans to Davids. Some people who sit there and say, hey, I like the way you think. I like the way you do things. Let's be friends. Just again, that connection. You know, I've got a handful of friends right now. They call me at 3 o'clock in the morning. I'm in the car. Right? They call me, absolutely. I've even got a few friends who I'd help move if they asked. You know? I joke about that with this guy named Tyler. I joke about this all the time. He just moved and he had the sensation where he's over 30. And when you're in your 20s, all your friends will come over for some pizza and a pop, help you move. Over 30, it's a different story. And he goes, they all got busy real quick. I go, buddy, at our age, that's what's going to happen. You're not going to have a lot of people jumping to dive on that. But I've got a few people. Listen, if you need something, here we go. I tell you what, I got at least one buddy I'd give a kidney to. He needed it. You know? No, man. If you have a need, I'm here for you. That's love. But we got carnal friendships, shallow friendships now. Now listen, not every friendship is going to be great. You know, I think I've given this illustration before. I had coworkers. I laughed with those people, shared coffee with those people. We would sit there talk about what was going on in our lives. There was a point where I spent more time with my coworkers than I did my own spouse. Right? That's bad. But you just get to know them. Here we are at work, 10-hour shifts doing this or that or the other, and you get to talking. You just get to communicating. We spend a lot of time together. Well, I left that job. Guess when I stopped calling them? The day before I left that job. They don't call me. I don't call them. Why? Because they're mean and awful? No. Because I'm mean and awful? No. Because that was what the friendship was. We worked in desks next to each other. Right? I prayed for them. There were some occasions where I got to pray with them. But I'll tell you this, those are skin deep friendships. And that's fine. There's going to be some relationships where that's fine. You don't have to go too deep. But I tell you what, if you've got a friend that sticketh closer than a brother, you need to put some effort into that relationship. See, what Saul had the kind of relationships with people where he benefited, right? What was Saul's relationship with God? It was like a good luck charm. Bring out the ark. Here we go. Right? Hey, before we go into battle, we gotta do these sacrifices. Whoa, Saul, that's not your job. We gotta wait for Samuel. No, it's fine. We just gotta get this done. Right? And I got him in trouble. What about his relationship with his son? No, that's his son. You still ought to have a decent relationship with your kids, by the way. No matter. You know, but what was it? Every time Jonathan won, Saul got the victory, right? And that was the extent of it. As Jonathan became closer to David, we will see later how Saul began to hide things from Jonathan. Why? Because it wouldn't serve his purpose for his son's friend to get away. Wouldn't serve his purpose, right? Without Jonathan, there was no blessings for Saul. There was no victories for Saul, because I firmly believe by the reading of this, there was a good number of those victories that God gave to Jonathan. And Saul only got any glory at all because he was the king, right? So again, he had that relationship with Jonathan, but that relationship was beneficial. It was for what he could get out of it. What about his relationship with David, as we read verse 2? And Saul took him that day and would let him go no more to his father's house. Ooh, you took down a giant. I need you real close. I need you real close. And I just stay right here in case we need something done. You stay right here. And when everybody comes in to see the giant killer, they'll have to come and bow down to me first. Just stay. That's not a good friendship. Yeah, when we were kids, the more popular guy was the one with the coolest stuff. Was that true when you were here? I'm sure we probably had different stuff. For my age, it was video games and a swimming pool. You had video games and a swimming pool, man, we were at your house. Trampolines were always big too. There was this one kid we knew had a full movie theater thing set up. Didn't like the guy, but we were always at his house. What is that? That's a shallow friendship. That is almost a parasitic relationship where I'm friends with this person for what I can get out of them. And so much of what we see here, that's what Saul is doing. What can I get out of God? What can I get out of my son? What can I get out of David? Now, how do I know that? Because the moment Saul was no longer having his needs met, the moment Saul felt threatened, what'd he do? He turned on him. He turned on him. That's what carnal friendships do. Friendships that have too much carnality, too much sin nature, too much selfishness in them, they'll fall apart real quick. Right? Well, did you hear the way they said that? Okay, I'm sure it was a misunderstanding. Hey, can you come over here? When you said that, what did you mean? See, that's what I thought. Thank you so much. Sorry for being awkward. Boom, we're done. I love doing that, by the way. That's a whole lot of fun, y'all, too. Just throw some light. Throw some light on some arguments. Throw some light on some misunderstanding. And I'll tell you what, not only is it fun, but you find a whole lot more peace in that situation. Because we make a lot of assumptions. And as you make those assumptions on each other, we open the door for what? Sin, prejudice, hatred, bitterness. You know, I was talking to somebody recently. They were very bitter. Bitter over a thing that never happened. In their mind, the reason why somebody didn't meet up with them one day was because that person didn't like them. So they held on to that bitterness. But in all actuality, whatever the fear was, wasn't true. We have that happen so often in life. Why? Sin enters in. Well, we were going to do that. But when we were supposed to go do this, or they borrowed this and put a stain in it, or they borrowed that and didn't return it with a full tank of gas or whatever, we get angry. Is that what real friendship is? Is that how God would treat you as a friend? I mean, if Jesus Christ, what a friend we have in Jesus, he doesn't hold those standards on us. He's forgiving and merciful to us. Should we not be the same towards others? Absolutely. Now, I'm not saying you lay down like a doormat. There's healthy boundaries we got to set. But at the same time, let us be giving. Let us be loving. Let us be merciful. Quick to forgive. Quick to have peace. I'll tell you this, you'll do a whole world of good if you start meeting some of your difficult times with a handful of forgiveness. A handful of forgiveness. We had a mix-up at the cemetery last week, and there was a relative that was not consulted about use of the cemetery. They come out real mad, and it turned into a he said, she said battle. Now, you know how I did that, right? I got he and she in the same room. I listen, I'm sorry. I'll tell you, I'm going to tell you right now. At first, we were upset, but now we understand. Please take this apology. You know what? Now that I look at it, I probably didn't even have to apologize. Why should I have to apologize for something I thought you did? Because I'm going to walk into the situation with a handful of forgiveness. And all of a sudden, what happens to my emotions? Why? Because I've given that to the Lord. And I've asked the Lord to accompany me in this problem solving. And here I am. And guess what? We had a good old time sitting there laughing and talking and joking. Good times. If we apply the love, mercy, and forgiveness of God into our relationships, they will improve. There's nothing you can't put godliness into and it don't get better. Right? There's a lot of things that improve when I approach with godliness. Right? You think about issues within the family or issues within a friend group or issues within a church even. If I approach with some love and some forgiveness, there's a better likelihood of a good resolution. And I would dare say this, the reason why we don't always do that is because we don't want a good resolution. We want to fight. Oh, I would never do that, brother. All right. But how often do we skip aside the God-honoring answer? And we have that fight anyway. And we've always got our excuses for it. That is a carnal friendship. That is a selfish friendship. That is a skin-deep friendship. It quits when their benefit stops. It's susceptible to corrosion. And so often those friendships turn into an open invite to sin. Right? Angerness, bitterness, sorrow, whatever. Those things sneak in. You know, we ought to have the proper kind of relationship. So what Saul was bringing to this relationship wasn't beneficial. It wasn't godly. Not to continue to rail on him, but there wasn't a lot that he did that centered around God. Your friendships, if you want to have good, godly friendships, I'm telling you now, they need to center around the Lord. You know, I've had people say, well, and I've talked on this before, so what you're saying is that if I've got friends who aren't Christians, that I can't be friends with them because I've got really good friends who aren't Christians. You know, I've got some folks who I know who ain't Christians I'm pretty close to. But you know what? They are just as susceptible. Why? Because their side ain't wrapped around the Lord. If I come in wrapped around the Lord, my intention is to please the Lord with how I treat you, and their intention is to please the Lord in how they treat me. We've got accountability. We've got ability, right? Now, I know how to be a good friend. They know how to be a good friend. Good friendships. Right, so am I saying that you can't have friends with people that aren't saved? No. Am I saying that you want to have a good friendship? It's got to be like that? Yeah. You want to have a real good one. There's a difference. I'm telling you, there's a difference. There's some people I love. Love them to death. They ain't saved. But the people that I'm friends with that are saved, the relationship goes smoother. The relationship goes better. Why? Because I am accountable to the Lord. They're accountable to the Lord. Lord has taught them love. Lord has given them an example of love. Same thing for me. We bring both to the table, right? At least that's the way it should be. We bring both to the table. Now, that's carnal friendships. Carnal friendships, they're cheap. They're a dime a dozen. You could go out, get stuck in an elevator today, make yourself a good shallow friend, right? I'm really good at that, just making that quick little 5-minute friend, while we're sitting there stuck in something or we're traveling together somewhere, just having a quick conversation with somebody, and down we go. And I tell you what, if you ever want to talk to somebody for a good, you know, half hour, 45 minutes, maybe an hour, I've got some numbers you can call, some people that I met in the last week and a half. Just goes on and on. I'll be anybody's friend for a minute. But man, if you want a true friendship like David and Jonathan, it requires godliness. Because true friendships are golden. Well, we see here with this phrase, their souls knit together. Their souls knit together. It is referring to the kind of union, right, of a partnership or almost a conspiratorial type thing. We're both in this together. I looked at that word knit. There's several different uses for it. This one is kind of rare in its use in the Old Testament. But it means a connection there. A deep intertwining connection. Now, I tell you what, you ever hear that expression, two peas in a pod? That's what I think of when I looked at the definition of what knit is. Two peas in a pod. We're bound together. We're stuck together. And we're real close. We're real close. I tell you, don't you love a friendship where you ain't got to explain yourself? Sometimes I'll get to talking to somebody and I'll say something, it'll sound a certain way. Now listen, I want to make sure to you that you know that that's not how you got some friends you don't have to explain that to. They already know where you are. All right? They already know how you feel. And that's great. That's wonderful. And if that's what we're going for, if that's what we need that kindred spirit. We need that that thick as thieves kind of mentality. But that doesn't come unless there is respect. Unless there's respect. See, we lost that a little bit. The kind of respect I'm talking about. I'm not talking about yes, ma'am, yes, sir. I'm not talking about I'll treat you like a human, you treat me like a human. I'm talking about respecting you for what you are in my life. Yeah? I see you. I know you. I value you. See, we've cheapened some of our relationships. And one of the instruments that we've used to cheapen that relationship so much is what? Social media. You run into a relative, you know all about their kids, their grandkids, their great-grandkids. You know everything going on, how the baseball game went last week. But you sit there, you try to talk to them, and you forgot how to talk to them because it's been 5, 6, 7 years. Or just those quick little texts we'll send. You know, you sit there, you text, you throw that cheap communication. I'm not being mean about it. I'll do it. We keep doing it. Why? Because you know, it's kind of funny to send a funny little joke off to a friend on a text message, right? I get that. You know, a little note, meaningful something. I'm not picking on it, but it's cheap, right? It's cheap. We need that valuable stuff too. Relationship is based on both. You know, I think of my relationship with my wife. You know what we like to do? We like to go to a restaurant. Our anniversary's coming up. I got to thinking back about when we went out on our honeymoon, some of the places that we went to go visit, you know, and just seeing those things. That's nice. You don't get to do a lot of that when you have kids. You don't. But we enjoy doing that. You know what else we enjoy doing? After the kids go to bed, you know, a little bit of fast food treat or some ice cream, you know. Cheap stuff. Cheap stuff's fine. But you know what you also need in the relationship? The good stuff. The good stuff. We need to spend that time, quality time, face to face, doing something, communicating. Even back to the way, and I'm not a big fan of dating, but even back to the idea of dating. All right, let's go on a date. What are we going to do? Go to the movies? What? Why? Don't you want to talk to each other? How nervous could you possibly be? I need to know right now if you're going to be irritated by me, right? Thankfully, I knew right off the bat that Danielle was irritated me. I also knew that I was irritating to her and that she was willing to put up with it. That's perfect. I hear say that love is finding somebody who's willing to put up with you. There it is, you know, who you can irritate and they'll be okay with it. And that, I tell you what, I've done my job. Done my job. Right? But we need that face to face. Who are you? How are you? What are your motives? What are your thoughts in life? Hey, how are you? No, really, let's talk about it. You know that good old fashioned phrase, how you doing? Oh, I'm good. How are you doing? Zero information has changed hands. We're just talking, aren't we? Hi. You know, I had one lady when I was a kid, she stopped me at Flat Rock. She goes, no, no, no. Every time you ask how I'm doing, you just keep moving. If you're going to ask someone how they're doing, you stop, you make eye contact, and you wait for me to answer. I go, okay. You got to remember, I'm back there. When I was a kid, I was right back there in that pew with them, right? Okay, all right. How are you? Good, okay. You know, take the time. Listen, how did that go? How you feeling about that? You want to talk about it? You know, and every now and then I'll get this, you want to talk about it? No. Well, all right. Want to go sit around a fire and not talk about it together? Sure. All right. Put some time in. Some care in. All right. Hey, listen, I don't even know what to say. All right, well, let's pray. I don't even know how to pray right now. I'm just so upset. All right, I'll pray. You sit there and be upset. Okay. Put that effort in. That's respect. I see you. I value you. I value you and your time. Right? And if I value something, I'll take care of it, right? I want you to think of the most valuable thing you own. The most valuable thing, not just money, but the most valuable thing to you. House is on fire. You can grab one object. You go grab it. I want you to think about it. You know where it is, don't you? You know what condition it's in, don't you? Right? Depending on what it is, you know exactly where it is. You know exactly how to use it or not use it, depending on what it, right? We know. You value a friend, you need to know where they are. Spiritually, emotionally, and yeah, even physically. Even physically. You know, I've apologized to folks. Hey, I didn't know the problem you were going through was that bad. I'm sorry, I'm a dumb friend. Let me take you out to lunch or something. Let's talk. It's not saying that we got to spy on each other or control each other or be busybodies in each other's way. But how many times have you sat there hurting and there ain't nobody you could talk to about it? Oh, there's people you could. But my goodness, isn't it awkward? Isn't it awkward to go start a conversation? Hey, I'm bummed out. Come over here and deal with me. That's a hard conversation to have. That's why it's up to you being the friend to say, hey, so-and-so ain't acting right. So-and-so's a little off today. Let me go see. You ever have this happen? Hey, buddy, I'm praying for you. See that you're struggling. You all right? I'm fine. Okay. You sure? Yeah. Leave me alone. Okay. You know what I do? Sometimes I just go back. I'll just go out, grab a few of the candies that they like, give it to them. What's this for? To eat, dummy. No, don't do that. That's not nice. It's for you. Figure if you don't want to talk about it, maybe at least I'll feel better if I know you're eating something ridiculous. There you go. But show some love. Right? Well, I don't want to talk about it. All right, let's go get a coffee anyway. All right, fine, but I ain't talking about it. Fine, we'll talk about something else. Did you catch that game last night? Yeah. Just be there. You ain't got to drag anything out of them. Ain't got to hurt anybody. Ain't got to be a busybody. We'll be there. So that way when they do want to open up, they know who to go to. Since you asked for it. Right? Since you asked for it. That deep friendship, that respectful friendship, where I value you. And why do I value you? Because I love you. Now I'll tell you this. Love is not as accidental as people assume it to be. They believe that, hey, I can sit there and, oh man, I just love so-and-so. Don't you just love so-and-so? So often they'll talk about celebrities like that. You see celebrities, they got their Facebook pages, their Twitters, their Instagram. Don't you just love this celebrity? Can I tell you something? You don't know that celebrity. You don't know them. Remember back when Elvis was a big thing, all those women passing out? They still do that, by the way, I'm sure. You get a big old star up there, people out in the they fall over. They don't know that guy. They wouldn't put up with that guy. Right? If that guy was a mechanic, they wouldn't put up with him. Right? You don't know him. Do you know your friends? Do you love them? I mean, I'm talking about, hey, I love that guy. Hey, don't you just love this coffee shop? Hey, don't you just love this cake recipe? No, love a person. Now we understand this from Scripture. There's various different kinds of love. We're talking that agape love that God has for you. That giving love. That love that doesn't expect anything in return. That love we hear about in the book of Corinthians, where it talks about all of its attributes, that's the kind of love we got to have for each other. And we see this also, that he loved his soul as his own. Now think about this. You know how you're doing today, right? When you get up in the morning, do you pretty much know how you feel? Typically you do. Now, I'm not talking just physically. I'm talking emotionally. You wake up, man, I'm nervous today. You wake up, man, I am grumpy. You ever just wake up grumpy? You got to deal with that. You got to get down before the Lord. You got to confess to something you didn't even know how you did. Lord, I don't even know how I woke up grumpy. Right? I'm just irritated this morning. Lord, please forgive me for that. Help me out today. Help me not to sin because of this bad spirit I got today. You know your soul, don't you? How about this? You know your likes and your dislikes, don't you? You know the things that are exciting to you. You know the things you value. You also know what your standards are, right? You know what you'll go for. You know what you believe. And you value the things that you believe. I'm trying to set up something for our family to get together. And I said, all right, Labor Day. Labor Day picnic our house, or barbecue at our house. And I already got it. Can we move it back to Sunday? I've got to work. Tell you what, I'll do you almost any day but a Sunday and a Wednesday. Any day you want to come over except Sunday and Wednesday, I'm good. Yeah, but can't you just? No. Why? Because that's what the Lord believes. That's what I believe. Now you're sick, something's going on, I understand. You're on vacation, I understand. You cancel it this far ahead so you can have a barbecue, and I'm telling you now, that barbecue grill might not light. I'm just saying, don't tempt the Lord. Right? Don't tempt the Lord. But that's where I stand. I'm absolutely not going to do that. Hey, listen, when you come and you give that message, can you give it out of the NASB? Can you give it out of this? Can you give it out of that? No. No, I cannot. You could if you wanted to. Yeah. No, I don't want to. I probably could. But it only served to upset my Lord, so I ain't gonna. I got a choice in whether or not I upset the Lord. And I like not. Don't you like not upsetting the Lord? I like not upsetting the Lord. That means a lot to me. To be able to sit there and not have to ask God's forgiveness for using a perverted version of the Bible. Just, I'm fine with that. Fine with, we have an understanding of our morals. Understanding of where we stand. What about that friend? How well do you know him? Some friendships, they're almost like sounding boards. Right? Hey, how'd everything go at work yesterday? Oh, it was good. Somebody brought in pizza. Oh, pizza? I haven't been able to have pizza in weeks. I tell you this. You used to get pizza down at that other place. Of course, it's closed now. Did you really even need them to talk? It's like when your doctor asks you a question. He doesn't really want to know. Just get you talking so he could run over you. That's not friendship. Listen. 2 ears. 1 mouth. Exercise the ears. How you doing? When we're sitting here at church, we're having those conversations. We're talking prayer. Really, somebody gave me a weird look one time. I was sick and couldn't make it to church. And it was the whole family that was at home. Because typically, if I'm out, Danielle can go. And I say, hey, listen, when you go, get me the prayer request. Because it was Wednesday night. You bring the prayer request in Wednesday night over there at Flower. Write those down for me. But she wasn't going to be there. So I reached out to somebody. Say, hey, can someone write down the prayer requests? Somebody reached out to me via text. That's kind of weird that you want to know what the prayer requests are. Why? Why would that be weird? See, I like to do this thing where I take them home. And I pray about those needs and concerns. Why? Because I love those people. Right? That's what love is. That's what care is. How is that going? How is that happening? I'll tell you what. I can be awful. I'm not always quick. I try to get out cards. I try to reach out to folks. I'm not perfect at it. But man, there ought to be an effort. Ought to be that effort before the throne of heaven to bring up the cares and concerns of the people around you. So when we see that phrase again, knit with the soul of David, and Jonathan loved him as his own soul. If I care about where I stand, I care about where they stand. Now again, this only comes when y'all stand in the same spot. You gotta stand, you stand in the same spot on stuff. Right? And that better be with the Lord. Jonathan stood with the Lord. Jonathan referred to the Lord. David did the same. He cared where David stood. Listening to David talk, he goes, guy after my own heart here. As a matter of fact, that's what God had to say about David too. This is the kind of guy I can get behind. This is the kind of guy I can follow through with. I like this guy. Man, we as church members here, we ought to have that deep relationship on the sole fact that we ought to be standing on the same ground. Man, if you're going to have a close, good friend, you ought to have it here. Of course, I'm telling that to you folks who are all intertwined and related somehow. You've already got it, right? But we ought to maintain those relationships. Keep those friendships. So again, we see that knitting together, that sharing of the same focus. But I'll tell you this. The difference between a fleshly, carnal friendship that is corruptible, that is flimsy and easily set aside, and a godly friendship, which is deep, which shares the same motives and intentions, which is filled with love, care, and respect for each other. What is the difference? The level of godliness you put into it. Just recently in our Sunday school class, we looked at the fruit of the Spirit. I'm going to read them to you. Love. Is that a good thing for friendship? Well, I'd hope so, right? Love. Not conditional. Not if you do what I want. Remember those old kids? If you give me your last Twinkie, I'll be your friend. If you don't give me your juice box, I won't be your friend no more. Now that kind of love. Hey, you didn't bring anything to drink? All right, here's my last Twinkie and my juice box, man. You can't do that. All right, bring a water bottle, man. I can't sit here and watch you get thirsty. Love. Joy. Should we have joy in our friendships? I talk to you, I light up. And I see something, oh man, that's wonderful. You know, I've run into a few of you while we were out and about in the world. Hey, I'm not playing. I really am glad to see you. That really is fun for me. Look at you out here in the world. Hey, very nice to see you. That's real joy. Should we not have joy towards each other? You don't have a love and respect for each other, that joy is going to be hard. Without love, that joy is difficult. What about peace? Man, I got a friend. I had some friends. If I hurt them, I would build a bridge just to burn it down just so I could get over to help them out and make this right. And not just that, but friendships ought to be a harbor of peace. You ever talk to a friend? You bring a problem to them and they give you an answer and it makes it sound so easy. I hate that guy. Listen, Matt, you're overexcited. Take a deep breath. Have a good night's sleep. Call me in the morning. All right, fine. Hello? Hey, Matt. How you feel? You're right. Harbor of peace. Hey, let me redirect some peace in your life. Right? Listen, you don't understand. They did this and they did that. No. All right, Matt, listen. This is what you're going to do. You're going to go over there and you're going to apologize. I'm going to apologize to them. Is that not what the Bible says? Fine. All of a sudden, what's there? Peace. Peace where there wouldn't be. So I tell you what, should there not be peace among friends? And should friends not bring you peace? And should you not bring your friends peace? We should. We should be the bringer of peace. A lot of people think that in friendships, you always got to take their side. One of the best things you can do for a friend like me is not always take my side. I heard of a relationship, you know, a married couple, they're having a rough patch, real rough patch. Guy goes to call his friend. You will not believe what she did today. And man, that guy let him talk for about 20 minutes. Isn't that dumb? I don't know, man. That's one side. You're supposed to be my friend, my bro. You're supposed to tell me. No. I think the best thing for you is to keep your relationship going, keep your marriage going. So I tell you, well, why don't you two come out to dinner with me? We'll talk this over. I'll tell you what, that preacher took those two people out, had a conversation, fixed that right up. Harbinger of peace. You don't know. Sometimes it's not about taking sides. Sometimes it's about cutting right through the nonsense and restoring peace where sinful pride and chaos. Proverbs 27:6, faithful are the wounds of a friend, but the kisses of an enemy are deceitful. I mean, that sounds mean whenever you, hey, I'm right about this, right? No. Now you're wrong. Let me tell you how you're wrong. Let me tell you how to get it right. Harbingers of peace. A spot of it that points you back to the Lord brings peace back into the relationship. What about long suffering? Some people are hard to be friends with. Be hard to be friend with. Be long suffering. Well, aren't you upset about that guy? Yeah, he'll apologize. He'll come back. Right? Long suffering. For as long as you need me, I'm here. Gentleness. Gentleness. Some people, they jerk their friends around. They're mean to them. They're aggressive with them. Again, I'm not talking about the teasing and the cajoling. I'm talking about some literal meanness. Right? That good old-fashioned TV trope where you got the big bully guy and then you got the little guy who chases him around, right? That kind of, that ought to be gentle. Ought to be gentle with each other. Hey, are you doing all right? Here's a gift. Here's some love. Speaking of gifts, goodness. There ought to be goodness stemming into our relationships and flowing out of our relationships back into us and supporting those around. There ought to be some goodness. What about faith? What about faith? I believe in you. You believe in me. We both believe in who? The Lord. Right? That steel sharpening steel. I sharpen your faith. You help sharpen mine. When the Lord blesses you, I rejoice. I rejoice and praise the Lord. When he blesses me, you rejoice and praise the Lord. We sharpen each other's faith. When I'm growing dull and I'm suffering, you bring me back to task. Now, I've had some good friends like that. They've taken me right over the sharpening stone. Just whoosh. And that whoosh sound was me whining about it. That'd be so mean to me for. I know you're right, but why you gotta say it? Man, come on. Whoosh. Come out sharper. And I've had some friends I've had to take over that sharpening stone. Listen, you know I love you, right? Yeah, why? Whoosh. So you know. We bring each other back to the Lord. We again encourage reliance onto the Lord. How about meekness? How about meekness? Now, some guys, I'm sure women do it too, they're competitive. I've got some friends I'm competitive with. I have a child I'm competitive with, right? Competition's good. Competition's fun. But some people in relationships really need to know that they're better than the other person. That's sick. That's not godly. That ain't Bible. Meekness is what? It is control over my strength and power. It is to the point where I'm not always vaunting myself out, not always needing to be the loud one nor the dominant one, right? It is my strength and my personality under some kind of control and leverage here. And temperance. You helping me control, me helping you control. All under whose control? The Lord's. When these are applied to our relationships, they become deeper and sweeter. Let me ask you a question. If I demonstrate the love that Christ has brought into my life to my friendships, what kind of friendship am I going to have? If I apply these fruit of the Spirit that I'm commanded to have anyway, into my relationship, and I hold myself and my friendships accountable unto God, what kind of friendships am I going to have? Well, I'm going to have a good one. You know, we've got different kinds of friendships. You know, we've got the two kids on a playground friendship, right? That friendship was born out of there being one ball left, and I can tolerate you, right? We got other friendships, right? That's your coworker friendship right there. Right? We got two desks. They're next to each other. We're friends-ish. Then you've got some friends. They're destructive. They're problematic. They're fraught with sin. Why? Because they're skin deep. Those ain't good. Then we got the other kind of friendships. The blasé ones. The ones that need some polishing. Right? Well, I bought you a Coke last time. You buy me a Coke this time. Right? But what kind of relationship do I have with the Lord? Every time I go to him for forgiveness, what does he do? He forgives me. Every time I need a blessing, what does he do? He pours it out. And I tell you what, folks, I've seen stuff in my life, and I know you have too, where the Lord has blessed, and you just sit there and go, Like, I could not even begin to think of how you could have answered this. Like, I've been in those, I've prayed prayers. Lord, I don't even know what to ask you for to fix this. And then something random happens and, thank you, Lord. And how many times has he done it? And do you think he's cut you off? He hasn't. I got to say that phrase, one of my favorite phrases. I got to say it a lot these last 2 weeks. My God ain't ever failed me. So if I take that same philosophy that Christ shows me, if I take that same friendship that he shows me and I put that into my relationships, I'm going to have a David and Jonathan moment. And I'm going to tell you this. Many times when we look at the relationship between David and Jonathan, we see two teenage boys. Am I correct? How long does anybody know? I know some of you can't answer. How long was Saul on the throne before this conversation took place? Some say anywhere from 16 to 20 years. Some say it's rough. Personally, that's why the most I've researched it. That's what, 16 to 20 years. How old did you have to be in order to lead anybody in battle or to participate in war? You had to be 20. Men 20 years or older could serve in the Jewish military. How old was Jonathan then? First time we hear about him, he was leading a captain of over 1,000 people. Now maybe that was nepotism, maybe not. But if it was 14, 15, 16 to 20 years from that point here, they weren't both teenage boys. Jonathan could have been as old as 42, 43 years old, listening to this young man going, I'm with this guy. That is my buddy. There's a mentorship that goes along with it too. Just bringing people up underneath your wing. We see that all the time. That's the uncle that gets you the job. That is the person at your job who took you under and said, hey, listen, let me show you the ropes. This is how we do this. And after 5 years, you're going to jump over here and you're going to do this. That's that buddy that you got that'll sit there and say, hey, let me give you some advice on what to do with a mortgage and these things and that. I'm not talking about an older man becoming friendship with a young boy. I mean, David himself was probably 19 to 20 or so, 18, 19, 20 or so during this time. But for one adult to watch over and care for another adult, that kind of friendship. And we didn't read it, and I've come down a little bit early, and I don't want to stretch this on, but what did Jonathan do to show his love? He took his clothes off his own back, gave it to him. Now let's talk about those clothes for a second, just a second. That was a captain's robe. That was a captain's sword. He wasn't just giving him the clothes off his back. David had clothes. David could have gone like this. Saul could have gone like this. Got him a real nice robe. Why did it have to be Jonathan's? Because this is my sign of respect to you. As I am, you are. As the rank I have is the rank you have. We see even that they made a covenant between themselves. We're in this together. We're in this together. Real friendship is based on the Lord. And there's two people in on it together. And those are the best kind of friendships you'll ever have in your life. I promise. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, I pray that I could be that kind of friend. Lord, I pray that not only could we have those kind of friends, but that, Lord, we would submit ourselves to you in being that kind of a person towards each other. Lord, as church members, as friends, as people serving together, Lord, help us to do right in these friendships and in these relationships so that, Lord, in the end, you look down and you see your people getting along the way we ought to, bearing and showing the mark of love Christ put on us. Father, for all that you've done and all the care and love that you and your Son and the Holy Spirit have shown to us, we ought to treat each other the same way. We got no other cause. It's the only example you've given us. So help us not to fall down to the baser way of treating each other, but Lord, to attain to the love, that agape love that you show for us. For its name of Jesus we pray, amen.